This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we started the show today. You can go back on the Odyssey app, rewind to the 2 o'clock hour with Evan simply stating, are you worried? Yankee fans with Stanton, Mets fans with Manaea. The are you worried carries over to 5 o'clock. I'm here to give you my updated list of the five pitchers most likely to win the most games for the Mets this year.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Paul Blackburn. Woof. That's where I'm at with five.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Keep going.
Go ahead.
Number four.
Jose Buda. Going to win games in the bullpen early, but like we've talked about, more pitchers full. Maybe he gets those starts late in the year.
Could end up in the rotation.
Could end up in the rotation and runs off some wins.
Yeah.
I think Carlos... carry over the combo.
I think Mendoza said early in spring training, if he ends up back in the rotation, that's probably not a good thing.
Sure. Because
it means there were a lot of injuries, but
we're getting
there. He has pitched well as a starter.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Number three, I'm putting Kodai Senga here. And you're going to yell and scream and say it was only 1 year. I'm very interested in his health throughout a whole season here.
Well, I'm not going to yell and scream. I'm going to explain calmly to you and others when people say Kodai Senga is injury prone. He's been here for 2 years, one of which was a brilliant rookie season, and the other was completely riddled by injuries. So does that mean he's injury prone? I think this is the tiebreaker. I think if he comes out and he only makes 12 starts this year because of injury, I would agree with you. But if he goes out and makes 32 starts again... I think that last year could be viewed as maybe an aberration.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
Clay Holmes, top of the rotation for now. And you never know, maybe he's a guy later in the year, wins some games out of the pen.
I am very high on Clay Holmes. And there's a few reasons why. It's not just the three innings he pitched in a spring training game. But I like him to make this transition. And we've seen guys do it. We saw Seth Lugo do it. We've seen Jordan Hicks do it. Like, the reliever becoming a starter and actually having success is not crazy. So... I don't think I'm being like some crazy delusional optimistic Met fan. I'm not necessarily joining Tommy in his bet with you that Clay's going to have a better year than Max Fried, but I like him. I'm very excited about what we're going to see from Clay this year.
All right, here we go.
Number one.
The number one pitcher on the Mets, I think, will win the most games this year now that we know Manaea's hurt for now. I think it's David Peterson. Had that run that kind of saved them in August last year. I think that we end this year and David Peterson's unquestioned starting opening day next year.
Well, that would be a great thing, David Peterson.
That's
blossoming.
That's my optimism shade for you, is that Peterson has a big year.
The only issue I have with your list is that Sean Manaea may only miss three or four starts. To delete him and put him behind Jose Buda and Paul Blackburn as a guy who, look, I'm not a big win guy anymore, but I'll play your game, and put him not even in the top five, I think is crazy. Like, are you that confident this oblique is going to cost him 2 months or something?
My gut instinct following this and dealing with pitcher injuries and seeing this, I don't think we see Manaea until the end of May.
Well, that would be bad.
I know it would be. By the way, I could be completely wrong. I think that they're going to play it on the safer side more than the elevated side.
I would tell you this to my fellow Met fans, and I'll go deeper on this when I do a Rico Brogna later tonight once my entire family is sleeping.
Jeez.
This is the Rico Brogna podcast.
My worry meter on Manaea will go up based on the next few weeks. The next few weeks are very important. And you may say, well, what the hell's going to happen in the next few weeks?
Of course, they're at spring training.
Well, is he going to throw?
Right.
Is he going to recover? Is he going to begin his spring training?
How much is he going to get ramped up by the end of spring training?
Right. Look, it takes 6 weeks. It's not like, oh, he's healthy, let's go. So I think, because Mendy kept it open-ended earlier today, he said he could throw in 7 days. He could throw in 14 days. He could throw in 21 days. If he's not throwing, and we're sitting here 3 weeks from now, well, every day he doesn't throw, the longer his loss will extend into the season. And the more starts you're going to ask from guys like Griffin Canning and Tyler Miguel, and that's not even my worry. My worry is when you go deeper into the depth, the bowels of the depth, if you will, and now you're asking Justin Hagenman to make a start or Brandon Waddell to make a start. And I get it. You're like, who the hell is that? That's the point. That's where the depth really gets tested, because their young arms, like Sproten did well, they're not ready. They're not going to make starts in the month of April.
If I had to ask you right now,
yes,
you could pick any pitcher on the Mets staff, knowing what we know now, or Severino in an A's uniform, does Severino win more games as a starting pitcher this year than any Mets starter?
No. I'm going to say no on that. I'm not confident Seve's.
And wins aren't everything, but you get the point.
Wins aren't everything, but I'm not confident Seve's going to have a tremendous year. By the way, I do have to disagree with something.
Mm-hmm.
I have to disagree with both of you, because I like to check out what Tommy and Sean are tweeting over the weekend. I always find it curious.
But, you know, you are something else.
You say check. I would say the authorities would call it stalking, but that's fine. You like
to
stalk
us. Put stuff out in social media, I read it. I mean, what is it there for?
There are times you act like you're not paying attention to anything me and Tommy are, and then you go, oh, by the way, I checked every move you made.
So wolf in sheep's clothing.
Sometimes I don't check it. This weekend I did.
All right.
So I've got an issue with a Tommy tweet. I have an issue with a Sean tweet.
All right. Go ahead.
The Tommy tweet was, I love the fight on both ends in the third quarter. I mean, there's nothing to love about getting your ass kicked by the Boston Celtics. So I thought, unless you're making positive Tommy, like positive Nick Tommy.
How dare you?
I thought that was PT.
I thought that was very lame.
No, how dare you? So that's not the full tweet. That was the first line in the tweet. So how dare you mislead the audience?
I'll read the entire tweet. I love the fight on both ends in the third quarter, but the bottom line is 0-7 against the Celtics, Thunder, Cavs, and the results haven't been close. Yeah, but you started with, I love the fight. There should be no love written in a tweet after your team gets its ass kicked.
And the Knicks are rolling extremely. They were dude heavy. Shut up, Tommy. They were on pace to lose by 30. They showed me in the third quarter what I want to see through four quarters. So I gave you a positive first, and then I gave but the bottom line.
Disagree. Now let me get to Sean. Sean, and like, this is the problem I run into with Sean. Because his excuse sometimes when he tweets something dumb, Lukey doesn't do this, is, well, I was just trolling. That's just what I do.
No.
And I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. Like, can I respond to something you said without you just running away from it saying, well, you know, just that's what I was doing. I trapped you. I got you into a trap.
I want to make one thing clear. I don't know what the tweet is.
Okay.
Usually toilet tweets are the ones where I'm entrapping people.
It's always a toilet or you're boozing or your cousin's over high school with. There's always a reason for what you do. You're just a jerk.
Non-toilet tweets are usually standard. So what do you got?
All right. So you here's the crazy part, Tommy. Sean tweets so much.
I do.
I can't even find it. Like, he tweets so often that it gets lost in the ether. Unlike Sean, who I'm like, I saw it.
You mean
I found
Lugie? Yeah.
Lugie, I
tweet less often than Sean. My tweets are more prominent. Your tweets are more just like volume.
So in a response to a tweet mocking Carlos Rodon's performance over the weekend, Sean wrote, he would be the ace of the Mets rotation.
Yeah, this is fact.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, Rodon on his best day is better than any Mets starter.
He's better than Kodai Senga?
Yes, we've seen more.
On what? Kodai Senga?
Can we see Senga for more than one decent year?
Can we see Carlos Rodon with the Yankees for more than 1 year? That wasn't even decent last year.
Rodon
wasn't
very
good last year.
Don't get upset. Don't get upset because it uncovers the warts of the Mets. Every Met fan knows their rotation's an issue. Yes, I know this sounds crazy.
I know the rotation's an issue, but I'm...
If the Mets sign Rodon to that salary and it was Rodon your ace, yes, he is. Yes,
he is. Oh, so now you're saying because he makes a lot of money.
Well, that's part of it, too.
I think Kodai Senga's better.
Okay.
So I disagree.
The fact that it's even a conversation should tell you something about the Mets rotation.
Right.
But that, feel
better.
There.
I got that both off my chest.
And you could say I responded to Pete Hoffman from the Rico.
Oh, was it Hoffman who did
it?
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely. I'm looking at it now. Hoff wrote...
Hoffman trolled the Yankees.
Well, Hoff's another guy that needs a hobby. He tweets too much.
Carlos Rodon, 2 2/3, 5 hits, 3 runs. Hoff writes, unfortunately, this is regular season form.
Yeah. So, okay.
Right. Now let's get to what's important. The New York Yankees have finally decided that they're not going to play Frank Sinatra's version of New York, New York after they lose. And I want to commend Keith McPherson, our co-worker, because Keith has not only been really kind of rallying against this for a while, and I know a lot of us have talked about it, but there's a difference between talking about it and rallying against it.
Yeah.
Keith has rallied against it to the point where he had T-shirts made, don't play Frank after losses.
KM to AM.
I commend Keith McPherson.
I do, too, as a Yankee fan, because it's one of those things that I think unanimously all Yankee fans agreed was patently absurd, because we used to get Liza Minnelli's version after losses.
Yes.
So ever since it's been Frank Sinatra's version, it's something you, every time it happens, you know, you can turn to somebody next to you walking on the stadium and everybody agrees the same thing. But I guess nobody had the passion enough to vocalize enough like Keith did.
And very passionate. Shirts. Yes.
And bless him. This is great.
And I agree with him. Now, I say that as a Met fan, so it didn't bother me the way I'm sure it bothered Keith and other Yankee fans. But the Yankees, all of a sudden this weekend, and the only reason it was revealed is because they lost a spring training game and played another Frank Sinatra song. So technically, Keith's T-shirts aren't fully accurate because...
That's Life was the name of this one.
Right. It's still Frank. It's just not that Frank.
And a better Frank song, by the way.
All right. I'm not starting that fight. But Keith's mission was completed, even if it's, you know, still a Frank Sinatra song. So it gets confirmed by Brian Hoek after they play That's Life by Frank Sinatra, and it's confirmed by the Yankees, we are going to play a different Sinatra song after each loss. That's the way it was left. So it may not be That's Life every time.
Right.
It may be a variety of songs.
Summer wind came blowing in.
Which, by the way, if it was up to me, I wouldn't do that. Because, well, we're going to play Chicago, this toddling town after the Yankees lose. Like that, I wouldn't play Frank. I'd play a different song. I'd play somebody different completely.
That's Life is very fitting.